these types of comments are just crazy to me. I don't know if some of you have seen it, but I had a very viral clip that got a lot of reactions, and there were a lot of comments. There were a lot of shares. There were a lot of people calling me an idiot, and I loved it. Thank you, everybody. Just helped me out quite so much. Point being, we had a lot of fun reading some of these comments. So there's some people that said quite a few things.
Welcome to the Aviation Mentors Podcast, the podcast that takes your dreams of flight and turns it into reality.
Sponsored by Strass Financial, financing your flight training.
For pilots, by pilots. I'm Brandon Martini, a commercial pilot and flight instructor.
And I'm Carson Vasquez, I'm a private pilot.
Whether you're a seasoned pilot or beginner with dreams of flight,
Aviation Mentors is your source for expert insights, industry trends, and inspiring stories.
So fasten your seatbelts and prepare for this incredible journey through the skies.
And stay connected with us on social media for exclusive content.
And visit our website at www.aviationmentors.com and let us be your co-pilot on this adventure.
Welcome back, everybody, to another awesome and, of course, amazing episode of the Aviation Mentors Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. The reason why we have big smiles on our face, we have a lot of bloopers today. It's unbelievable, actually.
We've been recording for 7 minutes, and we just now started the podcast.
Yeah.
So 7 minutes of screwing around.
I'm glad we don't do this live.
Yeah, thankfully, you guys would have to hear that. So by podcast magic, no one has to hear most of the stuff we say.
Yeah, just most.
Yeah, some of it still makes it in, and I, of course, apologize for that profusely.
Mark should have some fun sound bites, to be honest.
Oh, you should.
I mean, we have quite a few good today. Ones. Some not meant for general audiences.
Public consumption.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, public consumption, exactly. Well, thanks for joining us today. We are going to be talking about a few different things. But first, I want to talk about something I did yesterday, Carson.
You went flying yesterday.
I did go flying.
That guy, he didn't look that skinny. What plane did you take?
He was super skinny, actually.
No, he was. But I mean, like, he's not like a little...
Yeah,
a little
he's tiny twig. Dude.
Is he?
Yeah, he's really skinny.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. He's like 175 pounds.
He's really skinny. Good for you. What do you want? A
cookie? And 6 foot tall.
Obviously not.
No, obviously not. No. So we took the 182 yesterday.
Nice.
And we had to wait till the clouds burned off. And
that took a while yesterday.
Took a while. Burned off right at about 12 noon, which was fantastic because we were supposed to go flying at 12 noon. So we ended up leaving around 12:15, 12:20. And an airport that I thought it's only been a couple years since I've been to. For lunch, Camarillo. That is my favorite place I've talked about for lunch. I thought it was a couple years. No, it's been like 5 years.
Seriously?
I don't think I've been since COVID, which is unbelievable. And if I haven't been since COVID, or I went there and I like ordered my food like on the phone and picked it up. But I do not think that I've been there
since sat down at the restaurant.
And sat and ate at the restaurant at least.
I was like, we've talked about this way too much for you not to. You've been there.
No, seven. I don't. I mean,
you haven't had the restaurant experience lately.
Well, I asked them because we got there. We had to order at the counter, like before they seat you. And then they seat you and then they bring your food to your table. And they said it's decreased their wait times from 3 hours at their worst to 1 hour.
Well, that's great because those wait times were atrocious.
Yeah. I mean, we on a Wednesday at 1:30 in the afternoon and we got in, I don't know, 2 minutes and got our food within 5 minutes. It was unbelievable.
Because people would, I mean, it's not just pilots that love that place. Everyone loves it.
Everybody.
They usually have a line out the door of, you know, the parking lot's full.
We were probably the only pilots there. Well, I was.
Wow.
Yeah. That was interesting.
I did notice, though, that you didn't come over to my house and bring me a steak sandwich yesterday.
So. Sorry. I did order. They have this tri-tip, Santa Maria style tri-tip sandwich, which I've talked about 100 times, right? I had it yesterday, but I had it so late in the day that it did not taste that great. And I was so disappointed. It wasn't like my favorite sandwich I've ever had. It was a trip.
Well, your tastes have changed in 5 years.
They have changed.
I started eating seafood.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. We got big changes.
Well, I still want to go back and I want to try it at like the proper time, like 11 a.m. or 12 noon, not 2 o'clock in the afternoon when the meat's already all dried up. So I want to go back and go do it, but we had a blast. We took off from Riverside and flew over there and then we went around and kind of.
And your buddy's not a pilot, right?
He's not a pilot, no. We flew past the Hollywood sign, which I haven't done in several years as well. And we just had a blast. It was great.
Did you go around LAX or special flight rules?
Neither. We just stayed. If you stay 2,500, you'll stay below the Bravo in that little area. And the Hollywood sign, you need to be at 2,300 or 2,400.
Yeah. Whenever I went to Camarillo, I would just go around because, you know, you can fly pretty much direct and go through Los Angeles. mm-hmm. or you can go around that little mountain range and go like Burbank area.
That's what I did. Yeah.
Yeah. That's how I like to do it.
But it was cool. We had a lot of fun. He was so excited and just had a blast. It was so much fun.
That's cool.
I keep on pinching myself, forgetting how much I love flying, and I haven't been able to do a lot of it lately. So now I'm doing it. I'm surprised
it took you more than once to figure that out.
I know. Exactly. Exactly.
It's well, funny. You know, speaking about Burbank, you hear that, you know, it's a big story right now because everyone's freaking out that are not pilots. Mm. But Burbank didn't have controllers for a couple hours due to the shutdown.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
There's a lot of things I think about it. I'm going to go non-political on this.
I mean, just aviation only.
Aviation only, yeah.
What do you think about it?
I think that the public is more scared than they should be. That's for sure. Public should not be scared of the controllers being gone from control towers. That is not something they should be nervous about. Actually, they shouldn't even really be nervous about anything at all for a few reasons. One, if controllers are not at control towers, the pilots talk to each other. That's what they do at non-controlled airports.
Which there's tons
of them. And
we've all trained at it. We've all done it a million
times. And a bunch of people are going to say, hey, well, the big airplanes, they don't do the same thing as little airplanes. Guess what? Yes, they do. They do the same thing. If you go to little small airports that are uncontrolled in the middle of, I don't know, Kansas or Wisconsin, they land at those airports. So it's really not a big deal.
I got a question just because I never got this far yet. Mm-hmm. When you're filing for an IFR flight, and you're flying out of an uncontrolled airport, how do you manage that?
You can manage it a couple ways. Some of them have like remote towers that you can talk to. Like if you're at Corona, you can call up Chino Ground.
Okay.
You can do that and they'll give you departure time. Or you can call on your cell phone, get a departure time, and then you have to get up by that departure time. And if you don't, then you have to call them and let them know.
Okay. Interesting. Literally everything can still happen. Even airline flights can fly. No problem.
Yeah, no problem. Now, if all the controllers stop coming in like at the same time, then we have a real issue. The odds of that happening are about zero.
So as long as the TRACONs are still up, we're good.
Yeah, TRACONs and yeah. So as long as we have SoCal Approach and we have LA Center and we have all those things, yeah, no problems at all. You would also say, okay, well, what if a bunch of people call in sick to that? I'm going to piss so many people off this episode, I'm sure. which is why we're having podcast-worthy reactions to answers today, which are going to be fantastic.
Well, I thought we'd start off with something that everyone's talking about.
Yeah, everyone's talking about this. So if there's a bunch of controllers that don't show up and they work at all these, like SoCal TRACON, for example, then all that's going to happen is they're not going to provide flight following for VFR traffic. They're only going to prioritize the airlines.
And if you're wondering if that's true or not, we saw this during COVID.
We did.
You know, all the TRACONs were like half staff or if not or less. And flight following wasn't available for most flights that were, you know, not IFR or essential or you're not doing anything. You're going across country from Riverside to Ramona, which is a 50-mile cross country. They just wouldn't provide flight following. They'd focus on IFR traffic.
Yeah, it was challenging for sure. So long story long, there's going to be no problems at the moment. Now, anything can get a lot worse, but yeah. All these controllers are going to get back pay as soon as they come back. This has happened before. It's going to happen again.
I mean, it happens almost every year. So
no, it is now because of the political environment, but it's not a normal thing. It shouldn't be happening.
No, it shouldn't. But, you know, it's where we're at. Ultimately, nothing changes. It's just fly like normal.
Exactly. So. Yeah. Outside of that, I don't know if some of you have seen it, but I had a very viral clip that got a lot of reactions and there were a lot of comments. There were a lot of shares. There were a lot of people calling me an idiot and I loved it. Thank you, everybody. Just helped me out quite so much. Point being, we had a lot of fun reading some of these comments. So there's some people that said quite a few things.
What was the video about?
It's about Mosaic and the changes that are coming to general aviation. And I said something along the lines of, this is making aviation great again. I've been telling everybody at Oshkosh when this came out, this is going to revolutionize the marketplace. We are going to see 60s or 70s style aviation resurge in America again. So now you guys have seen it, which is fantastic. And now we're going to call out some people. And you know what? I'm going to call out some cool people, at least. So we had some nice comments on here, right? I'm going to call out this guy, Ron Tarantino. I think I said his name right. And he put, they need to make GA landing fees more affordable. It's killing GA. So, by the way, I agree with you, Ron, but I'm curious if you're a pilot. I'm
curious where you're a pilot, because I know in the UK, landing fees are atrocious, and I know that did kill GA.
There, yeah.
Without doubt.
So if you are in the U.S., then I'm curious if you're a pilot. If you're somewhere else outside of the U.S., then I understand why you're saying that completely. Because GA landing fees are not really a thing here. I mean, we do have them. Trust me, if you go to a big airport, if you want to go to...
Well, it could be training out of like Santa Monica. I think Santa Monica has them now.
There's a few airports that have them, but there's not many airports. I mean, if you're just training and you're just learning and you're at an airport that has them, there's not that many and you're just unlucky that you're at one of them. So you need to go to a new airport and get rid of that area and go train somewhere else. I mean, I don't know what that had to do with Mosaic.
Some people just want to get it out.
All right. This guy, Stuart T, said the following.
It's good, but people can barely cover necessities. I don't think it's going to benefit that many people. In the grand scheme of things, no, it's not going to benefit that many people. But in the aviation scheme of things, yeah, it's going to be huge.
It's going to benefit everybody.
I really think it's going to be huge.
See, Carson doesn't want me to be cynical and mean today, but I don't really care. I just...
He woke up cynical and mean. I don't know. Yeah. You should have seen our 7 minutes before the podcast started. It was cynical and mean.
It was cynical and mean.
I don't think we're going to be cutting costs in half for flight training or for flying in general with Mosaic. But I do think we're going to see a decrease. And I definitely don't think we're going to see an increase in prices for flight training.
I mean, we are going to see an increase in certain areas, but...
I mean, certain areas, certain things, like multi-engine, obviously that's not going to go down with Mosaic, but...
For now, until they put these little baby engines on there, maybe they will. You never know.
That'd be crazy. I mean, it opens up a whole new realm of possibility.
I just don't understand why people can put... But people can barely cover necessities.
Yeah, I mean, people that are flight training are obviously not the people that are buying Top Ramen just to survive. It's a career training. It's like college, right? You're not saying college is so expensive. People can barely cover necessities. Yeah. And if they're going to college, they're not living on the street. And if they are, props to them. But
exactly. And I was having this conversation yesterday.
It's all about where you're talking about.
It is. I was having a conversation yesterday with a few of my friends at my private club I'm part of. And some new guys that I met there I haven't seen before. And we were just chit-chatting and having a conversation. And we were talking about oil. And we were talking about electric cars and things like that. And there's subsidies the government gives if you will go 100% electric on your fleets in California, like for boats and different equipment. But you have to go 100%. He said he would go like 80% because some things he really needs, he would go hybrid on the other things or he needs a diesel for certain things. But it's impossible to go 100% electric. So basically, he's stuck with all of his equipment that he has that is poisoning our atmosphere in some ways, right? And he can't go anything. So it's literally the government thinks it's either all or nothing on everything. Instead of, hey, let's try to get 90% there and let's do it over time. This is a perfect example of somebody like that. But people can barely cover their necessities. You don't think that things will get cheaper as things get cheaper? Like if one thing gets cheaper and then a second thing gets cheaper, if you have 100% of things and 1% at a time gets cheaper, eventually everything gets cheaper. I mean, we've seen that for years and years and years across different industries, right? Things have gotten cheaper and things have also gotten more expensive. But these types of comments are just crazy to me. You know what time it is, Carson?
Time's a brain.
It's time to talk about one of our favorite companies.
Which company would that be?
Aviation Mentors is excited to be sponsored by the one and only Stratus Financial, dedicated to supporting the next generation of future aviators.
You know, Stratus Financial really understands the financial challenges that students face in pursuing their aviation dreams. That's why they offer student loans specifically tailored to aspiring pilots.
With competitive rates and flexible repayment plans, Stratus Financial helps take your aviation education to new heights.
So go visit their website today at www.stratus.finance. Just to be clear, that is not .com, it's .finance. And embark on your journey towards a sky full of possibilities.
Carson, it's time to get back to what we do best.
The show.
The show. The next one is Kurt S. The price of everything in aviation is astronomical. Legislation needs to limit lawsuits. I have a whole bunch of comments on this. And first, the answer is aviation is astronomical, but it's actually cheaper. Well, at least when I looked at it a few years ago, I don't know about today, but it was cheaper, I think, in 2022 and prior. It was cheaper to start flying or be in general aviation today than it was 60 years ago when you look at the cost of a dollar.
I don't know about today. Just, you know, inflation's been crazy lately.
I think today it's slightly more expensive than it was in the 60s, but only slightly.
But I remember having this conversation when I was working at the flight school. There were some pilots that came in and there's just a couple old guys that just like to fly around together. And they were just cutting through the flight school. They're, hey, just curious, like, what's the cost? And I was like, well, it's about, you know, $135 an hour for a 172. And, you know, instruction was like $60 an hour. And they're like, oh, it's insane. I would never pay that. And I was like, okay, yeah, what would you pay? And he's like, well, I did my flight training. You know, it was like probably 70s or 80s. Mm-hmm. And he's like, no, it was old guy. He was the one that spoke first. He was like, I was in like the 50s.
Oh, wow.
And he's like, I paid like $6 an hour for the plane and $3 for the instructor. And I was like, okay. Yeah, it might not have been exactly, but we did the math. I was like, you know, that's how much were you making at the time? He's like, oh, I was making like $3 an hour. I was like, okay. Things have changed a little bit. I mean, let's think about this, right?
Yeah. So if we look at $130, it was actually $11 back then. I just looked it up, 2025 to 1955. So yes. And if we look at it, and this, when you probably talked to him, it was like 2022. So that was $12.45.
So the cost hasn't really changed.
It has not changed that much.
I mean, that's $9. So it was an extra $3.
Yeah. Maybe it's gone up a little bit since then.
Yeah.
Barely. It's unbelievable that it's barely gone up.
The thing that is insane is we're flying pretty much the same planes for the most part.
Yeah, we are not flying like brand new airplanes like they were flying back then.
So if you take that into consideration with the cost.
Then maybe, yeah. Sure. But there's also this perspective of it on, do we need to limit the lawsuits? Absolutely. That is the reason why we don't have brand new aircraft right now.
Just in general, we need to limit lawsuits. But for aviation especially, I agree.
Yeah, I mean, we go down the street right now and you see personal injury and everyone sues everybody for everything.
Yeah.
And these attorneys, they get rich out of it and... I think it's...
And everyone else is too scared to say something to someone else and it becomes a whole thing.
It becomes a whole thing.
Yeah, I tripped in the office, tried to sue Brandon.
Didn't quite work.
No.
So the next one I want to hit is Randy R. says, new planes are totally unaffordable. Randy, what was the point of Mosaic's conversation? Did you not listen to... Maybe he only saw like 5 seconds of the clip and didn't actually listen to our podcast, which is very plausible, actually. So he wouldn't have understood that the entire podcast was about new planes becoming more affordable.
Yeah. And I agree. Yeah. Randy, as far as things pre-Mosaic or without Mosaic in consideration, new planes are completely unaffordable. New 172 should not cost $500,000 to $800,000. That's crazy.
Yeah.
If you're paying anything like that. But with Mosaic, what were we talking about the entire episode?
The entire episode.
Is that they can now make cheaper planes. They can make lighter planes. They can do so many more things because they're unlocking all this or cutting through all this just legal tape that they've had restricting this for so long. And now we're opening the gates.
Exactly.
So, I mean, you know, people like to see the facts. They like to see things in proof. And right now, most of Mosaic, I don't think, is even in effect until later in this month. That's when it starts to be in effect.
Yeah, and for the aircraft manufacturers for another year.
Yeah, so that gives them time to plan, time to develop, time to start manufacturing. And, you know, no one even knows if the market's there. I mean, I'm sure it is, but they haven't sold anything.
That's true. Hasn't happened.
So we're just starting this now. And things in aviation, things in all government, but especially in aviation, move so slow.
Very slow. But this one's moving fast. All right, we've got time for one more. Arthur H. L., and he's got a very short name, has a comment. What's his comment? Because I've got some comments on this.
The reason why general aviation is dead is because of the cost. I don't have $500,000. I don't either.
Arthur, why do you think it cost $500,000 to fly in aviation? That's not what it costs at all.
So no, to get all your ratings, it costs on average, what, $70,000 to $80,000?
To get everything.
Everything.
These keyboard warriors are so hilarious. They think they know everything and they just talk behind a keyboard and think that they really know. This is the information that gets perpetuated by people who are not in general aviation. This is the reason why aviation mentors exist. So people do not start believing what they read on the internet. I remember when we were all kids and the internet was new, maybe Carson wasn't born yet, but when we were all kids and the internet was new, we used to say, don't believe everything you read on the internet. What's funny today is we believe everything we read on the internet now because internet's kind of turned into the source of truth. But the point being, I don't have $500,000. Most people don't. And there's only one school that might cost up to $500,000. And that comes with a 4-year degree and an alumni program and all sorts of stuff.
I mean, I did the math on when I was at the flight school about, you know, if I wanted to get to 1,500 hours, how much would this cost? With plane rental instruction, I added up all the different types of instruction, type of rental I'd need, and it came out to $225,000.
Yeah, 250.
To get 1,500 hours, and that's renting a plane.
Yeah, let's call it $350 times, let's call it 300 hours, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That's $105,000, everybody.
That's with instruction and a plane.
That's with instruction and a plane.
For 300 hours.
For 300 hours.
Which you do not need.
At $350 for $105,000.
I'm not saying that's no amount of money. That's
huge. It's a lot of money.
However,
it's not 500 grand, and that's to do everything.
That's to do everything with an instructor and probably a really good plane.
Let's just call it 125. The highest programs that Stratus finances is around $150,000. Those are the most expensive flight schools out there, unless you go to a collegiate program, which are considerably higher because you're not just paying for flight training, you're paying for also a full college experience, mostly, and you will get a little bit of education. That is my part that no one really likes. I'm not a huge fan of college unless you need it for your job. You used to need it for aviation. You don't need it anymore.
Airlines don't require it?
No, most don't. Not anymore.
That's awesome.
So point being on this, because this is our last question of the day, general aviation is not dead because it cost $500,000. General aviation is dead because the youth are not exposed to it anymore. People are not coming back from wars after being pilots everywhere and everyone talking
inspiring
about
inspiring their family and like their next generation.
Exactly. That's why people are not becoming pilots. People don't even understand that it's possible to become a pilot, that it is that you can go buy. I just sold an airplane yesterday for $15,000, everybody. Literally, I sold an airplane for 15 grand. It needs an annual. But the annual is only going to cost $2,500 because it's been annual. It just is out of annual for like 2 or 3 months. Sure. Does it have a high time motor? Yeah. But it flies great. 15 grand somebody bought it off me for.
Yeah. That's
an airframe. Tell me you can't go buy a $15,000 airplane. You can even get payments on a $15,000 airplane. Heck, I would have given somebody seller financing if they were like an awesome kid who really wanted to become a pilot. Like, I probably would have done that.
Why didn't you offer me the plane again?
The point being, it doesn't cost that much money to be
it doesn't pilot. Need to. And I know in this world, 105, 125, 150 is a lot of money. But these things are financed for a reason. And that's because the payoff at the end is going to be huge. It's not astronomical. You're not making millions of dollars as a pilot. But you're going to have a great pay, a very secure job, because pilots aren't going away. That's not happening anytime soon. Might happen at the end of our lifetime by then, but it's not happening anytime soon.
Yeah. You know what's really funny about this whole conversation, Carson? We thought there was only like 6 talking points that Mark gave us. And no, he had 36 people on here or more. So we've got another episode we can record just based on these reactions. I cannot wait.
Well, it sounds like we should wrap up part one.
I think we're wrapping up part one because this could be a 6-part show, but we're not going to make it like that. That was too negative. There's one that was really, really cool, positive reactions, and I can't wait to talk about those.
Yeah, people are excited about it. It's not all negative. It's fun to tackle that because we like correcting the truth.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just going to kind of give you a little tidbit of information, but this guy named Lucas Palladini, he put, "This is awesome, period." And he is right. Lucas, you are correct. This is awesome.
Yeah. And Charlie B said, "The new LSA rules are amazing. I'd guess they cut the cost of aviation by 2/3.
Boom. Boom.
And those are, you know, it's easy to be overwhelmed by the cost of aviation, be overwhelmed by all the changes. And when you get into it, yeah, looking at a price sheet at a flight school, it's sticker shock every time. I dealt with that with every new lead I'd contact. But once you start going in it, you understand, A, why it's so expensive, and B, why it's so worth it.
True.
So you always have to remember the price is there for a reason, because the outcome is going to be great.
Exactly. Why are things so expensive? Because it's worth it. You can say that on a lot of things in life. With that note, if you'd like to reach out to either one of us, you can reach us on our emails, Brandon, Carson, or producer@aviationmentors.com. Also, please don't forget to reach out to us on LinkedIn. It is the best place to network with other business professionals and also network with other pilots. No, we are not sponsored by LinkedIn yet, but I don't think we ever will be. They're a big company.
We just like to...
But I do like LinkedIn. It's my new favorite social media that I use, and it is great for anybody who's a professional or trying to become a professional in pretty much any industry. With that being said, please don't forget to like, follow, subscribe, share all the awesome things you do on social media and do on YouTube. If you are watching us, we really appreciate it. Besides that, just doing all of those things, it helps us grow the aviation community even more. It helps us get our word out there and helps fight some of these misconceptions that we were talking about today. So thank you very much. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, everyone. As wrap up for the day, remember, here to guide you in your aviation journey. So fly safe and enjoy the ride.
See ya.